is the spirits,
came the legate and Kara's voice together.
They have bound her power. She is to live this marriage as any woman wed to a man. Her power would have interfered.
You can't do that,
Richard screamed.
She'll be defenseless. You can't take her power.
Her power was not taken, but walled away so she cannot use it for the term of her vows to her husband, Drefn Rall. It is done,
the two said together.
You will now swear to the vows, or you will lose your chance to help the winds.
Colin stared at the ground, feeling a swirl of emptiness, feeling the void between her mind and her power, as she listened to similar words spoken before Richard. She couldn't hear his answer, but he must have said what was required, because the legate pronounced him and Nadine husband and wife. They had not only taken her love, but her confessor's power as the price of the path. The emptiness threatened to smother her. The profound and sudden sense of loss clouded her mind with blackness darker than the falling night. Drefn took her arm. Here, you'd better sit down. Even in this light, as a healer, I can see that you are not well. Colin let him guide her back to a bench and help her to sit.
Your wife will be fine,
the legate said. He looked up at the boiling sky.
Richard Rall, Drefn Rall, come with me.
Where are we going? Richard wanted to know.
We are to prepare you to consummate the marriage.
Colin's head came up. Even in the darkness, she could see that Richard was near to exploding in rage. His hand was on his sword. Drefn rubbed Colin's back in sympathy. You will be all right. Everything will be all right. Don't worry, I will take care of you as I promised.
Thank you, Drefn,
she managed through the anguish. Drefn left her and strode to Richard. Drefn gripped Richard's arm and bent close, speaking to him in a whisper. Colin could see Richard rake his hands back through his hair and nod occasionally. Whatever Drefn was saying was cooling Richard. After Drefn and Richard parted, the legate and Kara looked back to Nadine and Colin.
You two will wait here.
Colin huddled on the stone bench as Richard and Drefn were led off in the darkness toward the cliff, toward the two buildings, one to either side of the road that ended abruptly at the edge. It was becoming so dark that Colin could hardly make out Nadine's face as she sat down beside her on the stone bench. The six sisters had gone back to the horses, sucking their fingers as they watched the sky.
I'm sorry. About your magic, I mean. I didn't know they would do that to you. I guess you'll be like any other woman now.
I guess.
Colin, Nadine said, I won't lie to you and tell you that I'm sorry that I'm the one who married Richard, but I will tell you that I'll do my best to make him happy.
Nadine, you just don't understand, do you? You can be as kind as pudding to him, or you can be as mean as nettles, and it won't make any difference. With the pain he's in, if you do your worst, it would be a bee sting after a beheading.
Nadine giggled uncomfortably.
Well, I know a poultice for a bee sting. Richard will see. I will...
You have already promised me that you would be kind to him, Nadine. I appreciate that you will be kind to him, but at the moment, I'm not in the mood to hear the details of just how kind you are going to be.
Sure, I understand.
Nadine picked at the stone on the bench.
Not the way I had my wedding pictured in my head.
Me neither.
Maybe I can make the rest of it the way I pictured.
Her tone had turned cold and vindictive.
You've made me to feel a fool for wanting Richard, for thinking I might have him. You've taken the pleasure out of my wedding day, but you won't take the pleasure out of the rest of it.
I'm sorry, Nadine, if you think that I have...
Now that I have him, I intend to show him how a woman can really please a man. He'll see. He'll see that I can be just as good a woman for him as you. You think I can't, but I can.
Nadine leaned close.
I'll have Richard's eyes spinning in his head before this night is out. Then we'll see who the better woman is and how much he misses you. When you're lying there with Richard's brother, listen close, and you'll hear my screams of pleasure. The screams of pleasure Richard gives me. Not you, me.
Nadine stormed away to stand with her arms folded in a huff. Colin put her face in her hands. The spirits weren't content to destroy her. They had to twist the knife. Kara and the legate returned.
"It is time,"
they said as one. Colin rose woodenly to stand, waiting to be told what to do next. The legate turned to Kara.
"This storm is going to break soon."
The legate turned to peer up at the blackness.
"My wives and I must be off this mountain."
He gripped Kara's arm.
"The winds speak to you the same as they speak to me. Can you take them?"
"Yes,
it is nearly done. I can finish it,"
Kara said.
"The winds will pass the message through me as well as through you."
Without further word, he scurried off into the darkness. Kara's strong fingers gripped under Colin's arm.
"Come with me,"
she said in that icy voice of the winds. Colin dug in her heels.
"Kara, please, I can't."
"You can and you will, or the chance will pass and the plague will rage on."
Colin pulled back.
"No, you don't understand. I can't. I'm having my moon flow. It isn't finished yet. I can't do this. Not now."
Kara's sinister glare drew close.
"It will not prevent you from consummating your marriage. You will do this, or all hope of stopping the plague is lost. It is not finished yet. You must do your part in this, indulge in this. It must be now, tonight. Or would you rather the dying continue unabated?"
With Nadine on one side of her and Colin on the other, Kara led them down the road, through the darkness, toward the edge of the cliff. Standing in the black night at the edge of the cliff, Colin felt numb and lost. She didn't know how long Kara was gone with Nadine, taking her to Richard in the crumbling building to the right. She felt Kara's hand under her arm again.
"This way,"
came the icy voice. Colin let the woman lead her to the ruins on the left. Colin could hardly see a thing. Kara, led by the winds, had no trouble negotiating the halls and rooms in the wreck of a building. They came to a doorway. Colin could just make out Drefn's sword standing up against the wall outside. Her fingers rested on its leather-bound hilt. Inside, she could just discern the rectangles where windows once stood. Beyond was the edge of the cliff and the emptiness where the Temple of the Winds had once been.
"This is your wife,"
Kara said with that icy, horrid voice as she spoke into the room.
"Here is your husband,"
she said to Colin.
"This marriage must be consummated. It is now your duty to do so. The winds have requirements. You may ask no more questions. Do not speak. The winds have reasons, and it is not for you to know them, only to obey if you wish to end the death. As the test narrows, it becomes more intense. You must now lie as husband and wife. If either of you utters so much as one word, the test will end, and entry into the Temple of the Winds will be denied. There can be no appeal. The stolen magic will rage on, as will the death caused by it. Only after you have fulfilled the requirements of the consummation will the winds come. After the winds come, and you will have no doubt that it has happened, you may then speak to one another, not before."
Kara turned Colin around and helped her out of her dress and the rest of her things. It wasn't hard for Colin not to speak. She had nothing to say. Colin felt the black night air on her naked flesh. She glanced down at Drefn's sword, thinking briefly that when it was over, she could always use it on herself. If not, if he denied her access to it, there was always the cliff. Kara gripped Colin by the wrist and led her forward. Forcefully, Kara made her kneel down and then lean forward until Colin felt the edge of the pallet.
"Your husband awaits you here. Go to him."
Colin heard Kara's footsteps fade into the distance, and then she was alone with Drefn. Chapter 58. As Colin felt her way, her hand brushed Drefan's hairy leg. She moved off to the side to lie down beside him. There was a blanket over straw, or something softer than bare wood, anyway. At least it didn't hurt her back as would have the hard ground. She lay on the pallet, staring up into the blackness with wide eyes. She couldn't see anything, other than the vague indication of the windows before them. She made an effort to slow her breathing, although she could do nothing to slow her panicked pulse. This wasn't the worst thing, she told herself. Not the worst thing in the world. Not at all. This wasn't rape. Exactly. After a time, she felt Drefan's hand settle on her belly. Colin shoved it away as she stifled a cry. She shouldn't have done that, she told herself. What was a hand compared to the plague? How many people in agony with the plague would gladly have traded places with her? Not the worst thing at all, a gentle hand. Drefan's hand found hers, trying to give it a squeeze of reassurance. She yanked her hand away as if a snake had touched her. She didn't want his reassurance. She had not vowed to hold his hand. She had not vowed to accept his reassurance. She had committed to being his wife, not to holding his hand. She would let him do to her what she must let him do to her, but she didn't have to hold his hand. Colin frantically tried to reason with herself. Richard had to get into the Temple of the Winds. The Temple of the Winds demanded this as the price of the path. The spirit of Chandalin's grandfather had warned her that she must not shirk her duty. She remembered his words all too well.
I have not been shown the price, but I forewarn you that I do know that there is no way for you to circumvent or avoid it. It must be as it will be revealed to you, or all will be lost. I ask that when the winds show you the path, you take it, lest what I have shown you comes to be.
Colin remembered the scenes of mass death the spirit had shown her. If she failed to do as the winds asked, what she had been shown would come to pass. She had to let Drefan do this. Stalling would not make it any easier. This couldn't be easy for Drefan. Couldn't be easy at all, what with the way she shoved away his attempts at tenderness. That made her angry all over again. She didn't want his tenderness. What did she want? Did she want him to be rough? Of course she had to let him touch her. How could he do this if he didn't touch her? Richard had to get into the Temple of the Winds. She had to let Drefan do this. Colin reached over and took Drefan's wrist. She put his hand back where he had tried to put it before, on her belly. She let go of his hand. It stayed there. What was he waiting for? She wanted to scream at him to get it over with, to do it and be done, to take what was his brother's by heart, if not by vow. She lay there, with Drefan's hand on her, listening to the dead silence of the night. She realized that she was listening for sounds coming from Nadine and Richard. She shut her eyes. Drefan's hand moved to her breast. Fists at her sides, she forced herself to remain still. She had to let him. She tried to think of other things. She silently recited rote language lessons of her youth, trying to ignore his hand. But she couldn't. He was being gentle, but that was no consolation. Even his touch was a violation. How gently he did it made no difference, didn't make it right. That he was now her husband made no difference to her. She knew in her heart it was wrong, and that made it a violation. In her mind, she screamed at herself. She was being worse than childish. She was the mother confessor and had faced much worse than this. Much worse than a man for whom she had no feelings being this close, this intimate. But she was no longer the mother confessor. The Temple of the Winds, the spirits, had taken that too from her. Colin gasped in a breath and held it tight as Drefan's hand roamed down her belly and finally settled between her legs. She remembered Drefan doing that to Kara. Now he did it to her. She hated him. She was married to a man she hated. Kara had felt it, the same as Colin could feel it now. Kara hadn't been so childish about it. Kara wouldn't be this foolish. Colin let Drefan's hand do what it would.
This was to save lives. She had to save all those innocent people from the plague sent by Jigang. Her people couldn't be saved without her. It was her duty. Dreffen suddenly rose up. The dark shape of him hovered over her. His knee pushed gently between her thighs, urging her to open her legs. It would be over soon, she told herself, as he put his other knee between her legs, too. The hulking shape of him lowered over her. He was big as Richard. She feared he was going to crush her, but he didn't. He held himself up on his elbows so he wouldn't hurt her. He was being tender, and she was only making it harder for him. He had to do this, and she had to let him. Colin grimaced. She wasn't ready. She held her breath. It was too late not to be ready. Dreffen was there. She bit her lower lip as she winced. She felt as helpless as she had ever felt in her entire life. She was married to Dreffen, not Richard, and Dreffen, not Richard, was having her. Everything was lost. Her eyes squeezed shut. Colin pressed her fists to her shoulders as he moved in her. Tears trickled from the corners of her eyes. Her nose stuffed up as she wept silently, and she had to open her mouth to breathe. She wanted to wail in anguish, but she instead had to remind herself to breathe. She couldn't seem to stop holding her breath. It took longer than she had hoped, but not as long as she feared. Finished, at last, Dreffen rolled off her onto his back. He had accomplished his task, but he seemed not to have relished it. She was somehow relieved that he hadn't enjoyed it. He lay there, recovering his breath as she finally let hers out. It was over. She told herself that it hadn't been so bad. It was nothing, really. She hardly felt anything. She had foolishly balked, and here it was, over already. It wasn't so bad as she had feared. It was nothing, really. But it was. She did feel something. She felt defiled. Dreffen reached out, his fingers tenderly, sympathetically brushing a tear from her cheek. She shoved his hand away. She didn't want his sympathy. She didn't want him touching her. She hadn't agreed to him touching her, just to consummating the marriage. His touch wasn't part of it. She remembered being with Richard. She remembered her hot need of him. She remembered the wild passion. She remembered her screams of sheer pleasure. Why was this so different? Because she didn't love Dreffen. That was why. In fact, she was beginning to realize that she loathed him. There was something about him that she didn't like, and it was more than just that memory of his hand on Kara. There was something deceptive about him, something devious. She hadn't consciously realized it before, but she could see guile in his blue eyes. Colin wondered why she would think that. He had just consummated their marriage, and he had been as gentle as he possibly could be while still doing it. He could easily have done anything he wanted. Her power was locked away. She couldn't stop him. Yet he had tried to be sympathetic, understanding. Still, it seemed a wonder to her that it could be so different from when she had been with Richard. She would give anything, almost, to have that pleasure again. She longed for that fulfillment, that satisfaction, the sating of lust. Dreffen's breathing evened out after a time. Colin lay there, in the darkness, beside him, beside her new husband, waiting. Why hadn't the Temple of the Winds come? She had done her part. Maybe Richard hadn't. Colin wondered if he could. After all, she had only to lie there. Richard had to be aroused. How could he be aroused over there, knowing that his brother was over here, having his way with the woman Richard loved? Colin had seen the look in Richard's eyes, the look of wild jealousy at the mere mention of what Shota said, that Colin would marry another. Colin had never seen such a look in his eyes before, and at the time there hadn't really been a reason for it. Now there was. No. Nadine would see to it that Richard did what he needed to do. If there was one thing Colin had confidence in, it was Nadine's desire to consummate that marriage. Nadine was a beautiful woman. She was more than enthusiastic. How could Richard not be aroused? He knew he had to do it. He would have no reason to try to resist her urging. Maybe Richard was thinking of it as revenge against his brother, Michael, for taking Nadine. Perhaps that was how he would get through it. Colin knew that Nadine was having the time of her life. This was Nadine's dream. This was Colin's nightmare. The dark sky she could just perceive out the windows seemed to boil as it had all day and all night. The air remained dead still and sticky. The storm wouldn't break. It threatened, but it would not come. Colin laid her wrist over her forehead as she rested, waiting. Her legs hurt, and she realized that it was because she was pressing her knees together. She let her legs relax. Strephon had done his duty. He was finished. It was over. She could relax. Colin shut her eyes when she heard Nadine's distant laughter drifting through the night air. The woman was as good as her word. Did Richard have to make her laugh? Couldn't he just do his duty? No. Richard would not make Nadine laugh. Nadine laughed for Colin's benefit. The night dragged on endlessly. Where was the Temple of the Winds? Drefin made no attempt to touch her again, and she was thankful for that. He lay there, on his back, waiting with her. Each hour that passed brought no change. From time to time, Colin drifted off to sleep. Nadine's throaty laughter brought her awake with a jolt. Colin wanted to slap Richard. How long was he going to make this go on? He could have had Nadine 3 times by now. Maybe he had. Maybe when the Temple of the Winds didn't come, he kept trying. Nadine would like that. Colin felt her cheeks burning. Strephon was silent as he lay beside her. The Winds had said that they couldn't talk. She guessed that Nadine's laughter didn't count. She used no words. Her laughter carried message enough. Colin sighed. Sooner or later, the Winds would come. They had all done as required. Had she, though? What was it Kara had said? You must do your part in this. Indulge in this. Drefin had indulged. He had been satisfied. Nadine certainly was indulging. Richard must have. Colin hadn't. She hadn't indulged. She dismissed the idea. It had to be something else. Maybe the Winds were just waiting for Nadine to finally have enough. That would fit the way the Temple of the Winds had done everything else, twisting the pain for Richard and Colin, making them suffer. As the night dragged on, and recollecting Kara's words about indulging, Colin thought again about the time she had been with Richard in that place between worlds. She had felt the kind of pleasure that other women felt, the indulgence not only in love, but in lust. Colin had been so frustrated lately, waiting to be with Richard, waiting for that closeness again, waiting to be married to him so they could be together as husband and wife, waiting for that satisfaction again. It was so near. She had been so close, so ready. And then it all fell apart, leaving her hopes dashed and needs unfulfilled. Now, for the first time, she was free of her confessor's power, free to take pleasure from a man, not for love, but for the sheer indulgence of pleasure. She was free to enjoy what other women enjoyed. Here she was, lying next to her husband, and not an unattractive man at all, and she was feeling frustration for the need of Richard. Was she to live the rest of her life being denied a simple pleasure of life that she was now free to indulge? But she didn't love Drefin. Without love, the passion was empty. Still, it was passion. And if not ideal, at least she could have that much satisfaction. The spirits had taken everything else from her. They had taken Richard, the only thing she really wanted out of life. Would she let them take simple pleasure, too? What else had she, now? This was her husband. She was condemned to live the rest of her life with him. Must it be without at least some small release of pent-up need? Wasn't she entitled to at least that much after all she had sacrificed? They had taken everything else from her, her only love in life, her confessor's power.
You must do your part in this. Indulge in this.
What if that was why the winds hadn't come? What if it was because she hadn't indulged?
Druffin rolled over on his stomach and sighed. He was frustrated by the weight, too. Or maybe he was tending to his auras. She thought about Druffin's tight trousers and the way she caught herself looking. Druffin was a handsome man. He was built like Richard. Druffin was her husband. Her anger at the spirits for taking everything from her was what finally made something inside her snap. This was all she had. She was entitled to this much, to release. When her hand touched Dreffen's back, he jumped. Colin smoothed her hand across the muscles of his back, and he settled. She let herself feel his muscles, as she used to feel Richard's muscles, feel his shape. She took a deep breath, and she let herself go. Colin's hand moved down Dreffen's back. She gritted her teeth as she gripped his buttocks. They were as tight as they looked in his trousers. She was lucky, she guessed. The spirits could have insisted that she marry a repulsive man. Instead, they had insisted that she marry Dreffen, and he was far from repulsive. He wasn't as handsome as Richard. No one was as handsome to her as Richard. But women were always fawning over Dreffen. Now he was her husband. He had pledged to be loyal to her. She had pledged to be loyal to him. This was the only pleasure she was to be allowed. This was all the spirits had left her. At least she could have this much, have what she was entitled to. Colin seized Dreffen's hip and rolled him over toward her. She hooked her leg over his and let her hand roam over his chest. Dreffen didn't react. Maybe he was surprised by her change of behavior. Maybe he was confused. She would have to unconfuse him. She gently pinched one of his nipples, then let her hand slide across his flat stomach and down. Colin found that Dreffen was in no condition to do her any good. If she wanted to have her pleasure, she would have to change that. She kissed his chest. She trailed wet kisses down his stomach. His breathing seemed slow. Colin felt frustrated anger that he wasn't taking the hint. She was tired of being frustrated while everyone else wasn't. She decided that if she wanted to have satisfaction, it was up to her to see to it that she got what she wanted. No one would give it to her. She would have to take it. Colin let her tongue, her kisses, glide the rest of the way down Dreffen's taut belly. When she took him in her mouth, she tasted her own blood. She forced herself to ignore the taste as she urged him to react. At first, she thought he wasn't going to, but when she lost herself in the erotic nature of what she was doing, he finally did. He came back as strong as before. By the time Dreffen was fully ready, Colin was panting with need. Once she had decided to have her pleasure, she became insistent. Dreffen was her husband now. It was his duty to fulfill her needs too, not just his own. Colin's head was spinning with the want of release. That it was Dreffen no longer mattered. In her mind, she imagined it was Richard. At that thought, she moaned with longing and climbed atop him, straddling his hips. This time, she was ready to accept him. This time, she wanted him. She shut it out of her mind that this was Dreffen and imagined it was Richard. Since she couldn't see Dreffen's blue eyes, it wasn't hard to envision it was Richard instead. She remembered the things she did with Richard, and did those things. She relived that experience in her imagination. Her mouth gaped. She gasped for air. Sweat ran down her body as she moved atop him, writhing forcefully against him. Dreffen was panting now, too. She needed to have release from all the frustration that had built up for so long, all the times she had kissed Richard and wanted to do more, all the times he had touched her and she had wanted him to do more. Now he was. Colin leaned forward to kiss him. Dreffen turned his face away. She scooped her arm under his head and held him to her chest instead. His face felt hot against her breasts. The roughness of his unshaved face excited her as she slid her sweaty flesh against him. It made her pant all the more. She was just about to scream at him to put his hands on her when she remembered that she wasn't allowed to utter so much as a word. She seized his wrist and put first one hand where she wanted it, and then the other, to hold her bottom while she moved, so she could imagine it was Richard holding her again, kneading her. She wanted to feel him gripping her in his big hands while she moved. For the first time since she had last been with Richard, she felt wild pleasure, wild lust, a wild, desperate need. That it was with Drefn no longer mattered to her. She wanted only release. It came with stunning, ridged shivers. Her sharp moan shook her shoulders. Her legs stiffened to stone. Her toes clawed. She slammed herself down on him as the wanton fulfillment of lust inundated her. She gave herself over to it completely, and with helpless, unbridled abandon let it run free. She gasped sharply again, the cry following in the echoing wake of the first. It seemed that it lasted an eternity, as if it was almost too much to endure. With a final convulsion, it subsided. At last, it was over. For one twisting moment, she had been free. There was no plague, no people dying, no responsibility, no duty, no marriage to Drefn, no Nadine. For that one moment, she had been free of it all, and she had been immersed in gratification. For that one moment, her heart and her lust had been with Richard again. Colin collapsed to the side of Drefn, panting, getting her wind back, pushing her wet hair back off her face. It occurred to her that he hadn't reached any satisfaction this second time. She didn't care. She had. At the moment, that was all that mattered. Sweet release. For a wonderful moment, she had been free of everything and had been with her love, if only in her imagination. Colin realized that she was weeping with the joy of it. She lay on her side, turned away from Drefn as she recovered. She wiped the tears of pleasure from her face. In the absence of need, she unexpectedly began to feel ashamed. Dear spirits, what had she just done? She had enjoyed herself, that was all. She had needed the release. Then why did she suddenly feel so dirty? Distant thunder rumbled toward them. A hint of embedded lightning flickered in the sky. Colin looked up, out the windows. Another flash, closer, ripped through the insides of the roiling clouds, briefly lighting the mountaintop. From the other building, Colin heard a long scream from Nadine. Colin blocked it from her mind. As much as Nadine's scream rankled Colin, it at least didn't leave her as frustrated as it had before. Three more screams came from Nadine. Short, piercing, urgent. Colin pressed her hands to her ears. Nadine had made her point. Couldn't she just let it be now? The wind came up, abruptly, as if a great, huge door had opened. The blast of air hit like an avalanche. The building shuddered. The entire mountain quaked. Colin propped herself up on her elbows, peering out the windows. Distant lightning flickered through the turbulent clouds. Thunder rumbled, reverberating through the mountains. Each strike came a little closer. The Temple of the Winds was coming. There was no doubt in her mind. That took her thoughts back to Richard, because it was coming for him. She felt sudden shame. How could she so easily lose track of her heart? How could she find such pleasure from another man? What was she thinking? She had never felt so dirty in her whole life as she suddenly did now. With Richard, she had felt wonderful afterward. Now she was feeling worse by the moment. If Richard ever found out, he would never understand. Richard would never know. There was no way for him to find out, unless Drefn told him. Her heart pounded. She thought about the guile she thought she had seen in Drefn's eyes. No, he wouldn't tell Richard. But what if he did? With a sudden, close strike of lightning, Colin sat up straight. She saw something out the window. A structure. As the winds had said, there was no doubt. She could talk now. She spun back to Drefn. She had to secure his silence in this before they left this place, if Richard ever found out. The wind lashed at the mountaintop. The thunder boomed. In the darkness, she reached out and clutched his arm.
Draffin, listen to me. You must promise. You can never tell what just happened, what I just did with you.
Her hand tightened, her fingernails dug into his arm.
I'll do whatever you tell me to do for the rest of my life, but you must promise me that you will never tell.
Ribbons of lightning lit the room.
Richard.
Thunder crashed, jarring the ground. Lightning snaked along the bottoms of the clouds, lighting the room with a harsh glare. In the flickering flashes, gray eyes were fixed on her. I think Richard already knows. Colin screamed. Chapter 59. Colin froze. Thoughts crashed through her mind in a confusion of thundering terror. Her scream came again, ripping through the night loud enough to be heard over the sound of the thunder. She couldn't make herself blink. She couldn't tear her eyes from Richard's face.
She couldn't understand, couldn't make sense of it.
The world felt as if it had turned upside down. Everything tumbled around in her mind, making it impossible to think. As the lightning lit the room again, she knew only one thing.
This was Richard, not Draffin.
No look she had ever seen on Richard's face was as terrifying to Colin as the one she saw now. There was nothing in his eyes, not rage, not lethal commitment, not determination, not a deadly calm countenance, not jealousy, not even empty disinterest. There was no soul in those gray eyes. No heart. Colin covered her mouth with both trembling hands. She backed away until her back smacked into the stone wall.
He had known from the first instant she had come into the room.
Richard could tell it was her coming into a room. He had known it was her the whole time. From the first instant Kara had led her in here.
He knew.
He had tried to squeeze her hand, to reassure her, to let her know.
She had pushed his hand away.
He had been as gentle as he could. He had tried to brush her tears away after.
She had pushed his hand away.
She hadn't let him show her that it was him. Colin collapsed to the floor with a wail of horror.
No! Dear spirits, no!
Richard didn't rush to her, didn't speak words of comfort, didn't yell. Instead, he went to where his clothes were lying, near the door, and began getting dressed. Colin scurried to her things nearby. She raced to pull on her underthings, suddenly feeling the humiliation of her nakedness, its reminder of what she had just done. She scooped up her dress. She paused, tears streaming down her face. She reached around the outside of the doorway and brought the sword and scabbard up before her face. It had a leather handle, just as she remembered seeing, not a wire-wound hilt. It wasn't the sword of truth, Richard's sword. It was Dreffen's sword. Colin gripped Richard by his wrist as he picked up his pants.
Oh, this is Dreffen's sword, not yours. It's Dreffen's sword.
Richard took it from her and leaned it against the wall. They took your power. You have no way to defend yourself. Dreffen will be the one near you now, not me. I gave him the sword of truth so that he could protect you. His eyes finally met hers. I guess this one finds the truth just as well as the other. Richard stuffed his leg into his pants. Colin snatched his arm again.
Richard! Don't you see? It was you. It was you in here with me, not Dreffen. The spirits mark a distinction between intent and deed. It wasn't him. It was you all along.
He pulled his arm away. The spirits might mark a distinction, but he didn't. To Richard, the intent was the same as the deed.
Richard, you don't understand. It wasn't what you think.
He shot her a glare of such power that it staggered her back a step. He waited as she stood frozen, unable to find any words to explain. He went back to dressing. Colin pulled on her white confessor's dress. Outside, the lightning was coming closer. During some of the closer strikes, she could see an immense structure rising up at the edge of the cliff. The Temple of the Winds. When the flash extinguished, the temple vanished again, and she could see the distant mountains beyond, lit by the lightning farther away.
Richard!
she wept as he pulled on a boot.
Please, talk to me. Say something. Ask me to explain. Tell me there can be no explanation. Yell at me. Call me a whore. Tell me you hate me. Hit me. Do something. Don't ignore me.
He turned and picked up his black sleeveless undershirt. As he pulled it on over his head, she scooped up his black shirt and held it to her breast, hoping to halt his dressing.
Richard, please! I love you!
His gaze again rose to hers. She thought he was going to say something, but instead, he turned away and retrieved his belt with the leather packs on it. He snapped on his wristbands. Colin held his shirt to her chest and shook as she watched him hook his belt together. She didn't know what to do. He picked up Dreffen's sword and buckled it on.
Richard, please talk to me. Say something. This is the doing of the spirits. Don't you remember what I told you that Grandfather's spirit told me? The winds have decided that you are the path of the price. They did this to us.
He shot her a look again. The intensity in his eyes extinguished. He saw that she wasn't going to surrender his shirt, so he threw his golden cloak around his shoulders. As he turned toward the door, Colin seized his arm with both her hands and turned him back to her.
Richard, I love you. You've got to believe me. I'll explain this in here to you later, but for now, you have to believe me. I love you, no other. My heart is yours alone. Dear spirits, please believe me.
Richard gripped her jaw in his hand and wiped a thumb across her lips. He held his thumb up for her to see in the pandemonium of lightning. For the one in white, his true beloved, will betray him in her blood. His words ripped her heart.
This is the end of side one. There is no need to change your balance control. Simply reverse this cassette. That is, turn to side two and continue listening.